itself. They are looking for trouble. Perig Bays. I'm not aware. Could be. I'm not aware. Basayan. It's quite a name to call yourself. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Perig Bays. Perig Bays. Pasik. Pasik Yud Bays. We started yesterday. Let me just read the psukim very quickly again. Pasik Yud Bays and Yud Gimel. Two psukim. Ki choyamar Hashem tzevokai sos Hashem achar kovoid. We learned yesterday two perushim. The perush of the Mitzudos and the perush of Rashi. Achar kovoid mi. Achar kovoid means towards. Towards honor. The purpose. Zechariah is saying in the name of Hashem that the purpose of all of this, the purpose of me being sent is, or the goal of Hashem, the goal is to give honor to the Jewish people. That's the goal. Shalachani el hagoyim, hashaylelim eschem. That's why Hashem has sent me to the nations of the world. It's in order to achieve the goal. And the goal is, achar here means towards. The goal, following to the destination is honor. Honor of whom? The honor of Hashem. The honor of the Jewish people, the honor of the Torah, because these three things are synonymous. These three things are the Chut HaMishulash. Yisrael v'yoraisa v'kutsha b'richu chadhu. That is why Hashem has sent me. El ha'goyim ha'sholelim eschem, ki ha'nogea b'chem. Anyone that touches you, nogea, is touching b'vovas eino, in the pupil of his eye. Who is his? Is it a capital H or is it a lowercase h? If it's a capital H, anyone that starts up with the Jewish people, he is poking the eye of Hashem, and you certainly do not want to do that. Or it means you're poking out your own eyes. You are blinding yourself. You are injuring yourself. Pasuk Yud Gimel Ki Hineni Meinif Es Yodi Aleihem. I will wave my hand upon them. B'hayu Shelo La'avdehem, and the Goyim, our enemies, will become plunder for the people that were once their servants. We are their servants, as we said yesterday. Akate avde Achashverosh Anan. We are still the servants of Achashverosh. It's very important. So we once spoke about this. This idea came across. It really shook me up. And Reb Chol, this is something which we'll touch upon. Reb Chol's Dalad Malchios. When we today are living in the Malchus of Edom, there are four Malchios. Bavel, number one. Number two, Paras HaMadon. Number three is Yavah. Number four is Edom. Does that mean that today when we are in Golus Edom, there is no longer Golus Paras HaMadon? So, simply, yeah, it's over. Paras HaMadon, they're out. They're gone. Not so fast. And Michal will tell us that in one dimension, Edom is really, each Malchus is building upon the previous Malchus. We today are living in a world of
equals the first three combined.
Which means it incorporates, the damage.
The, Jasmine, wishing happy birthday.
The damage of the ideology that is apikorsis, that is damaging the Klal Yisrael, it builds on itself. And that idea I came across, I don't remember where I saw this, really was very frightening to me, because in the Megillah, at the end of the Megillah, we know that in the Megillah, it says that there was a gzera lahashmir laharig ulabedetz kol hayudim min aviyat zokin taf enoshim yom echad. There was a gzera to destroy the Jewish people. And then what happens at the end of the Megillah? That gzera was never, ever annulled. It was never canceled. That's a very frightening idea. It was never canceled. The only thing that happened at the end of the Megillah was Achashverosh gave permission for the Jewish people to stand up and to defend themselves. Now, what would you rather have? Would you rather have Achashverosh canceling the Gezerah Lahashmir Laharug Ula'abed Es Kol HaYehudim? Or would you be happy? No, let the Gezerah be in effect, but we have the opportunity, we have the ability, the legal right to stand up and defend ourselves and take revenge against those that try to destroy us. An ordinary, logical, normal person would say it's a much better blessing that the Gezerah should be canceled. But it wasn't. End of the Megillah, the Gezerah was never canceled. We just had permission to fight back. Okay, now, Megillas Esther comes to an end. Paras Umadai come to an end. So we assume, I always assumed, well, it wasn't such a wonderful event. No, the gzeir was in effect. We were able to defend ourselves, and we did. And they knew that. The goyim knew that, and they didn't want to start up with us. And the Megillah says they killed there were 500 deaths. That's what it says in Shushan Abira. I don't remember the Megillah, but it says that it's, I think almost 500 people were killed by the Jewish people. 500 of our enemies were killed. That's it. Can you imagine if it would have been the other way around? It would have been a bloodbath. Jewish people are very, very idle. When they have permission to take revenge, they don't do such a thorough job. They hold back. All right, fine. Megillah Esther is over. It's over. Paras Umadai comes to an end. Today there's nothing left of them. Go to Persia. Go take a look. We have here in the shul the book that has the archaeological digs of where Shushan HaBiru used to be. There is absolutely nothing left of them. Nothing. Zero. Dust. Yet. So that, what does that mean? Oh, so finally the Gezerah is canceled. Chazal are very scary. They tell us just because Shushan HaBira today is dust, the Golus of Paras Umadai never came to an end. Edom is just a conglomeration of Bavel, of Paras Umadai, of Yavon, plus its own unique flavor of ice cream. It's just a conglomeration of everything together. Paras Umadai never came to an end. If Paras Umadai never came to an end, do you know what that means? The Gezerah, Lahashmid, Laharog, Ula Abed, Eskol HaYehudim, is still today in the year Tav Shin Pei Aleph in play. And the only thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to protect ourselves is we have the right, the privilege to defend ourselves and to fight back. Nothing changed. And the way Chazal expressed that idea is with the term Akate Avdei Achashverosh Anan. When Chazal wrote those words, they wrote those words in the beginning of Golos, not in the beginning, already 500 years into Golos Edom. Akate Avdei Achashverosh Anan. Golos Paras Umadai never came to an end. Yavon never came to an end. Edom is just another episode in this drama of Golos. And that's very frightening. That's very frightening that there's a gzer upon the Jewish people, Lahashmi Laharagul Abdis Kola Yehudim. And the only thing that we can do is we have permission to fight back. When you look at this pasuk, then it has a whole new meaning. It says the day is going to come. Now our enemies, the leadership of the world, who is in the position of Malchus to harm us, they will finally be destroyed, and they will become shalol to who la'avdei, who are the avdehem? Akate avdei, us. Avdei achashverosh anan. Anan is us. We now finally will prevail, and the gezerah will be canceled because the people who have made the gezerah will be destroyed, and they will be obliterated, and their assets will be spoils of war. And at that time, bidatem ki ani Hashem tzivakos shiluchoni. This is very bizarre. Only then will you really appreciate that Hashem has sent me. Isn't that strange? What do you mean only then? Right now we don't appreciate that Hashem has sent Zechariah. Right now this pasuk has not yet been fulfilled. At this moment in time, Hashem has not yet, at least in the full glory for sure, has not yet fulfilled what he writes, ki hinani meinif yodi aleihem, I will wave my hand upon our enemies and Hashem will destroy them and they'll be shalol, shalol la'avdehem. That has not yet happened. And that means, if that has not yet happened, vidatem, the next part of the pasuk has not yet happened, we still do not know that Hashem has sent Zechariah to be his agent to give us a message and to lead us, to guide us. We really don't appreciate that. Is that really true? Is that really true? When we're reading over here the Sefer, here we are in Tav Shin Pei Aleph, and reading, learning the Sefer Zechariah, we don't have the ultimate awe and respect for Zechariah, that he is the messenger of God. Is that really true? I think the average person will say that it's clear as day. Today, we know that Zechariah was Hashem's prophet. Almost everything else that it says in this book came true already. How many prophecies, how many different elements in the Sefer Zechariah have come true throughout the last two and a half thousand years? Are we going to say over here that since this one little thing did not yet happen, Mashiach did not yet come, and the enemies, our enemies, were not yet obliterated, and we have not taken all their assets, our possession, because that has not yet come true, we do not yet appreciate that Zechariah is really the Shliach of Hashem? We have doubts. Maybe he's an imposter. Maybe he's making things up. He's just it's just a charade. Really? Is that how could the Pasuk possibly say that? Well, obviously, the answer must be is that sometimes you know something, and sometimes you really know it. There's a difference between knowing and really knowing. There's a famous Hasidic Shemaisei, I'm sure you all heard it, where I don't remember the name of the Rebbe. All of the Rebbes, they all morph into one Rebbe. I can't remember all the names and all the people and all the different parts of the world where they were Rebbes. But there was once a Rebbe who sent his son away, far away, to learn in the yeshiva where they lived. There wasn't such great opportunities for advanced Talmudic study. So he sent his child far away to learn by another Rebbe, by another Talmud Chacham. And then they didn't travel that often. It wasn't like today. You get back and forth. It was a long time later. Finally, the son came back to visit his father for Yom Tov. The father said to him, "Nu, my son, what did you learn?" So the son says, "I learned that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in this world." So the father was surprised and he says, "The maid here also knows that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. That's why I sent you to learn by this person." So the son said, "The maid says there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. I know there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in this world." That was the goal. That was the goal of going away to it. I really know. She says it. She says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But she doesn't really know it. By learning by this person, I now, V'yodata hayoim v'hashevoisa el levavecha. There's knowing and there's knowing. And here is something very fascinating. Even though we're sitting here 2,500 years later, something like that, from the time of Zechariah, we still don't know. We still have doubts. We still have doubts. Who was this person? Was he an opportunist? Did he take advantage of a situation, Klal Yisrael, to promote himself, to gain some honor, some wealth, some need he had for attention? We still have our doubts after everything is said and done. It's shocking what it says here. And it's only going to be when Mashiach will come and this pasuk will be fulfilled in the fullest sense of the word, we will then not just say that we know, we will really, really come to know and appreciate who was Zechariah. Vidatem ki Hashem Tzivakos Shilochoni has sent me. Does it say this expression by other prophets? I don't remember. I don't know. I don't recall. Maybe I'm making a mistake. I don't recall such an expression. Does it say this about Yirmiyah, about Yechezkel, about Yeshaya, the other Treyasar, that there's a need for validation? There's a need for a stamp of approval, for a stamp of authenticity? Is there such a need? It seems like over here that Zechariah, he's almost yearning. He's yearning for validation. Why does he even need it? Who cares? Why does he need this validation? I don't know. There's something unique about Zechariah. We have to remember, Zechariah is the most relevant, probably from all of the 48 prophets. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av HaNevi'im. Moshe was everything. But the one that really spoke to us in our street language, Moshe Rabbeinu predicted what's going to be the end of the days. Hazinu, I mean, the whole Sefer Devarim, the Toichacha, it's all there. Everything is there for Moshe Rabbeinu. What's not for Moshe Rabbeinu? But yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, to a degree, is more esoteric.
It's Moshe Rabbeinu uses the same language by Bill when he's asking for to kill Korach. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Hashem Shlachoni V'Yibriya Yivra Hashem, Batzso Hadama. He uses that
also language. Validation. Okay,
everybody should know that I am your
the real deal, and they didn't know until now.
Debating was impugning Moshe's shlichus.
Oh, okay, very good. But that was for them there and then. That's not right. That was not a message for us today, right? So here is a good message. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu is the Av HaNaviv, Moshe Rabbeinu is everything, but Moshe Rabbeinu's words are very esoteric. They're cloudy. Zechariah is closer to us. Zechariah is speaking directly to this generation, to our generation of Moshe HaMashiach. That's clear from all the Mefarshim, and that's why his nevuah is very much in a league by itself. And by him only, I don't know him only, but by him we have this powerful idea of to fully appreciate, to be aware that there is a messenger of Hashem that is being sent, and he's for real. He's not an imposter. And
I noticed something very interesting here. There are four nevuot here. Two to Am Yisrael, and three to the Goyim. Three to the Goyim mention Hashem Tzvakot, and the two of the to the Jews are Ne'um Hashem. And they are if you look at the Pasuk Tet, Ani Ehyeh La Ne'um Hashem Chomat El Saviv Yamid, that's to Am Yisrael. Hoi Hoi V'Nasu Me'er Tzafon Ne'um Hashem.
Okay,
we're
very
talking
good.
About the Jews.
Very good.
Now, Hoy Tzion Himal Erega, and then we go Yud Bet. Kikor Mar Hashem
Tzvakot. Very good. That's the Goyim. Very good. Very good. Excellent. 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 Very good. Very good.
Again. ונלוו גויים רבים אל השם ביום ההוא והיו לי לעם ושכנתי בתוכך וידעתם כי השם צבקות שלחני. כל הנבואות לגויים זה השם צבקות וליהודים השם.
Fantastic.
ושלחני is talking about the גויים here, not about the Jews.
You have to have a new addition to your sefer. Rav Kalman has a sefer. He wrote a sefer of Kalman. His chidushim. You have to have a new addition. A new addition to your sefer. We have here.
No.
We have two people. Anyone else will write a sefer? Rav Michal has a sefer, and Rav Kalman has a sefer. Rav Mayevsky is in the process of putting out a sefer. And Meir, Meir is writing a new edition of the Zohar. Just could imagine what it's going to say. Okay, let's go back. Fantastic. It's a very good vart. It's very good what it says. What you're saying. You're saying very powerful. All right, so let's now continue where we left off. So we did over here Mitsudois, and we did the Rashi. I believe we did the Rashi. Achar Kavah, we did I don't know if we did the Pasuk Yigimel. I'm not sure if we did the Pasuk Yigimel, the Rashi, just a few words. V'hayu shalol la'avdehem li'Yisrael shehem ato avodim lahem, which are currently the slaves to the goyim. That's exactly what the Mitzudos David says. Now, let's go to the Radak. Okay, go to Radak. I want to put it on the screen. Okay, I'll only put it on Limga. It's not so long. The problem is I have to log in. Give me one moment, please. Shouldn't take all that long. Okay. One more moment, please. Okay, here we go. Pasuk Yud Beis, Ki Choy Omar, Achar Kovoid, Shilochani, Achar HaKovoid, Shiftiach Eschem. Now, by the way, Achar HaKovoid, I just told when we recap from yesterday, Achar HaKovoid, according to the Mitzvah, means towards. The goal is Kovoid. According to Rashi, we learn something very different, which means that after I reward Esav, Edoim, for the mitzvah of kibud av vo'em, or kibud av. Rashi emphasized av. Rashi did not mention kibud aim. Then the Jewish people will be rewarded. But first, we have to allow Esav to be rewarded for the mitzvah of kibud av, something which he performed for 22 years, which Yaakov Avinu was unable to do because he had to flee for his life, because his mother told him to run away. It's interesting that Yaakov Avinu was Mekayim Kibud Aim at the expense of being Mechabed his father. And at that time, Esav was Mechabed his father, but was not Mechabed his mother, because he wanted to murder her child. So it's interesting that there's a contrast between the two. Yaakov and Esav were twins. A twin, to a certain degree, is one entity. And what one person does, and together they achieve, between Yaakov and Esav, there is the shleimus of kibud av v'em. Esav was mechabed his father, and Yaakov was more mechabed his mother. He listened to his mother and he ran away for 22 years. So between the two, there's kibud av v'em. All right, let's go further. Pasuk Yud-Beis, Ki Choy Amar Hashem, Achar HaKavod Shulochani, Achar HaKavod Shiftiach Eschem. The Radak is following the approach of the Mitzudah Stavit, the goal. The reason why Hashem has sent me, has recruited me, is in order to bring honor. Like we mentioned yesterday in the Nusach of Rosh Hashanah, Uvechein Tein Kovod Li Amecha. Uvechein, one of the Uvecheins in the Baruch of Ata Kodosh, Tein Kovod. Acher HaKavod Sheftiach Eschem Kamo Shekosu B'Nevu L'Malamala, Shetachlisa U'Lechavod Eyeh B'Seicha. Like we learned a few psukim before, that the purpose of Hashem sending me, of Hashem, is Hashem will make a wall of fire around Yerushalayim. That's what we spend time on, the bracha of Nachem, and Hashem will be a source of honor in her midst. Achar zeh, shelochani el hagoyim hashaylelim eschem. To achieve, achar here means to achieve this purpose that Hashem sent me. Ki ein dai lo kel yisparach batoiva sheyishalem lochem tmuras haro'osh yegia lochem megalus. It's not sufficient for you, the Jewish people, to be rewarded for the pain that you suffered, ad sheyikach nekama me'oyveichem asher shalalu eschem, the hashlama of the kovod, of the honor of the Jewish people, is sweet revenge. That is the shleimus, which is something very interesting. In the Haggadah, and a very critical portion of the Haggadah is shefoich chamoscha El Hagoyim Asher Lo Yidu'ucha, Avial Mamlecha Yisah Asher Lo Yikiru'ucha. We have there a composite of different psukim describing a demand of Hashem should pour out His anger upon the Ummah Yisrael, that the Haggadah would be incomplete without this desperate request for revenge. It's a very powerful idea that when we focus on our galus, we also simultaneously focus on the demand for revenge. In the kinois on Tisha B'Av, a major chunk of the kinois, at least in the beginning, focuses not only on our suffering, but also on yearning for revenge. It's a very, very interesting idea. And even though the Jews are not vengeful people, they're very calm, placid, yet the shlemus of the honor of the Jewish people only comes when there is accountability, retribution upon our enemies. Okay, and like, you know, if you listen to the history, read, if you're a history buff, and you listen to some of the lectures about post-Holocaust, what was the yearning of the state of Israel to pursue the Nazis? Eichmann is the most celebrated case of where the Jewish people flexed their muscles and grabbed hold of a villain and publicly put him on trial in their own state. Okay, many people would argue that's not fair. You have to have Gebedover, and it's a really good question. How is the state of Israel allowed to put Eichmann on trial? Eichmann, the state of Israel is Negev, that we are the victims. If we are the victims, are we allowed to be the ones to prosecute? A victim is not, it's posseledus. A person who is a victim to a crime or a relative of a victim, and destined, if a person is two witnesses, and they observe Reuven murder Shimon. If the witnesses are related to Shimon, are they allowed to testify in court? No.
It could be Goel Adam.
So he's saying it's even better. He's saying, no, but the Goel Adam only kicks in after it's established as a fact.
I understand.
So we first have to establish the facts. Okay, but on the other hand, they're Goyim. Goyim, do we follow the same rules when a non-Jew, I don't know, but putting that all of a sudden halakhically, if you study the story of Eichmann, this was something which was a challenge to the state of Israel, that you are not the ones that have a right to put him on trial. Very good, you captured him. Excellent, you've captured him. Hand him over. Hand him over to a third international court, and we will try him. We will prosecute him. We'll somehow figure out a fair way to deal with this. But you, Negev Adavar, this was a very big, if you study the history, this was a very big challenge to the state of Israel. And they couldn't care less. Don't tell us what to do. And kol hakavod. That's one issue. Then there was another very big issue. Why only Eichmann? It's coming out now. All the secrets are coming out after all the uncensored documents. Is that the state of Israel seemed to have knowledge and the ability to track down a lot more, many more war criminals at that time, not just Eichmann. He was just one big fish. There were many more big fish that they had knowledge of, and they had the ability, if they really, really wanted to go after them, to get hold of them. And it seems like they chose not to. They chose not to. One is enough. They want to make a statement to the world. Big statement. And one.
Well, a lot of the others, they just killed them outright where they were. They found them and killed them right on the
spot.
There
are a lot of different stories.
South America, right, they buried right. them and left secretly. Notes on them. Like they would put a knife in the guy with a note and saying who he was. So right. That's why he's dead.
They did some of that also.
And leave the country.
They did some of that, but why didn't they go and they take those people and bring them back to Israel and put them on trial and make a whole big ceremony out of it? And there are other people that they didn't even do that. There are other people they just ignored. They knew about them. These are new things coming out today. Well, there are a lot of different things you can read about. Why? So it seems, if I'm not mistaken, is that a command was given from the very, very top that we're not here at this time when we're struggling for our own survival to seek vengeance. We want to make a statement. One person is enough. Eichmann, Yimach Shemo, it's enough. We're not here to go and seek out vengeance from every single criminal. We want to make that statement. It's interesting that there's no question, there's something very Jewish about that. Because over here, as you see over here, what it says in the Radak says these very powerful words, and it's a very powerful principle, is the full kovod of the Jewish people can only be achieved when our enemies are obliterated. It's not enough to be successful. For the state of Israel, I don't think the people who are making the decisions read these words of the Radak, but yet it's in their blood, because even though they may not have read these words of the Radak, their grandparents and their great-grandparents, they lived the words of the Radak. They lived the principles of Tanakh, and it's in their blood. And the desire, the full kovod of Klal Yisrael is only shalem when our enemies are obliterated. That's part of achar kovod. And it's not enough just to be successful. See, in the world, this goes contrary to a lot of what the Baalei Mussar say. And it's a very delicate balance. There's a principle. How do you take revenge? They teach us in kindergarten the ultimate way to take revenge against your enemies is to be successful. Don't touch your enemy. You have an adversary. There's no honor in taking out a knife and stabbing your adversary in the heart or in the back. There's no honor in doing the ultimate way to defeat your enemy is to ignore him and for you to be successful. When you achieve success and your adversary looks and sees your success, he melts away. The pain is unbearable. That revenge is much sweeter than had you eliminated him in the very beginning. That's what they teach us, and there is no question that is 100% true, and there are probably numerous Mamori Chazal to support that Yisoid. Yet, there is another dimension of no. Success is eliminate your enemy. There is another dimension, and these two elements have to be properly balanced. Success, and our enemies melt away, but there's also accountability. There's also retribution. You've committed a crime, you've done harm, you have to pay the price. You have to suffer. You have to be eliminated. The two ideas are very different approaches, and they're both MS, and they have to be properly balanced. And this pasuk here, according to the Radak and according to many other mafarshim, is teaching us just that. One more time, the words ki ein dai. It's on the top. It's hard to see maybe on the screen a little bit, but it's the third line from the very very top. Ki ein dai lekel yisparach ba toiva sheyishalim lochem. It's not enough to be successful. What they taught you in kindergarten, the way to defeat your enemy is to ignore him. Complete, that's what you tell children. Just ignore him. Be successful. And that is the ultimate revenge. So here it says, it's true. But there's another element, which is a dangerous element. Ki ein dai. Ki ein dai lekel yisparach batoiva. The benefit, the success. She yishalem lochem tmuras hara'ah. In exchange for the evil. She gia lochem magolos that you have suffered. There's another element, ad sheyikach nikama shefoich chamoscha el hagoyim. Don't be such a nice guy. Me'oivechem asher shalalu eschem, who have despoiled you. There's accountability. Okay, there's accountability. Go look at the news today, you know, with the governor and the mayor. There's a pandemic, and there's no question that we have misbehaved. You can't say not that we, unfortunately, it's a big, massive chil Hashem. But on the other hand, they're no tzaddikim either. And their statements and their dealing with us is clearly acts, clearly shows massive betrayal to our good relationship, our goodwill with these officials. And spreading hate and anti-Semitism on a national and global stage is unacceptable and unexcusable. And there should be accountability. We're not tzaddikim. No one's saying that we're tzaddikim. Our mistakes are, unfortunately, massive, terrible chilul Hashem. But that doesn't give them a license for what they're doing. Their crimes, the way they're treating us, especially the worst of everything is the portrayal of Jews as demons who are spreading disease throughout the world and opening up hatred, anti-Semitism, on a national and global, in the media. This is unacceptable. This is not acceptable. You can't just sit back and do nothing and let them get away with this. This is terrible.
Now, we're Jews, we should keep a low profile.
Of course, keep a low profile.
2% of the whole country's population in a world filled with anti-Semitism, and we cannot.
They're promoting the anti-Semitism. They have to be told to cut out the anti-Semitism, to cut out these ugly statements and this portrayal of us, which is a scapegoat. I'm not saying we're tzaddikim. We're not tzaddikim.
Yeah, but lawsuits and open.
We're not tzaddikim.
Just inflames them.
All right, this is obviously a very touchy topic. Let's go further.
Cases, there are two cases of nekama that's worth to mention. One from the Torah and one from State of Israel. One from the Torah was Nikmat Hashem b'Midyan. Hashem says, no, there was no. Well, suddenly Hashem says to Moshe, go
Nikoyim,
and fight Midyan.
Right, fight Midyan, exactly.
Send
Nikoyim, Nikmas
Midyan. And eliminate them. Fight Midyan. After the war, that's number one. Number two, what happened in Munich when they killed the Israeli sportsmen? Each and every one of the killers was killed after that. The Israeli
Mossad
found them all, and each and every one, none of them stayed alive. It's a known fact. That's reality now.
So, okay, don't start up with the Mossad.
We are not hefker.
That's right. We're not hefker. It's not absolutely there is Rav Menachem Zemba, one of the biggest proponents of not sitting back and doing anything was Rav Menachem Zemba. Rav Menachem Zemba was a goyim sheba goyim. We have a lot of his writings. He was an incredible, outstanding Talmud Chacham, a very holy person. And this always echoes in my mind that he was in the Warsaw Ghetto, and they were liquidating the Warsaw Ghetto. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, were liquidating. There were some holy Jews who were in the Warsaw Ghetto, and they asked them the following question. And according to our calculation, we only have a few days left. The liquidation is underway, and they're going block by block, and we're going to die. There's nothing to talk about. We'll be dead within a few days, no matter what. Here's our question. We have a few days left. Should we, our remaining days in this world, should we go into the basement and fast and daven and learn Musar and prepare our neshamos to return, to prepare our neshamos for them to be returned to our Creator? These are holy, holy, sacred Jews. That's option number one. Option number two, should we go out into the field, into the streets and fight? And fight and kill a couple of Nazis and fight. And we'll die. There's no question we're going to get killed. There's no question. But at least we'll take down a couple of Nazis on the way out. And we'll put up a good fight. So what would you think he would say of Nachum Zem? You go ask this to a great Rebbe, a great Rosh Hashiva, a holy person. You would think, of course, he would say, you're going to die anyway. What's another Nazi you're going to kill? Go into the basement, prepare your neshamas to be returned. You're going to learn. No, he told them, go fight. Nekoyim nikmas Hashem b'midyan. Exactly what Rebbe Kalman said. He told them, go out there and fight. Go out and die al kiddush Hashem fighting. Fighting to show the Klal Yisrael is not, you don't step on Klal Yisrael. It's very
That's
powerful.
That's why in my Sedina, I always said the last line in the thing is Vayomer Zona Yaseh Zachoseinu. You can't touch somebody, you can't touch a Jew and get away with
right.
it. You have to learn the lesson.
Oh, so that's a very
the
big dilemma.
Saying, hey,
and what does Yaakov say?
They gave Shimon Olevi the last word.
So the big dilemma that's unanswered, that you can argue forever and ever, did Yaakov Avinu accept that answer from his children? Yaakov Avinu said, "They're gonna. What's the pasuk? They're gonna. What are you doing? You're crazy, Shimon Levi, Meshugayim. They're gonna all kill me. You bunch of Meshugayim. Stay low. Low profile. The world is a dangerous place. They're gonna kill. We're only 70 people. They're gonna wipe us all out. And what are these? Hachazoyni yasasachoseinu. Father, what do you think we are over here? We're garbage. What are we are over here? We're just fodder. Hachazoyna." And Yaakov doesn't say anything. And then the parasha ends. Who was right? Was Yaakov right? Or were Yaakov's children correct? This is the big...
No, he didn't answer.
He didn't give an answer.
At the end, when he did the brachot to their children, Shimon ve-Levi achim klei chamas necherotehem.
That's a response. Okay, that's Jewish. Okay, that's debatable. Okay, that's part of the debate. That's part of the big debate. That's part of the did he answer? Not okay. That's all part of the big dilemma. And it's amazing how Maisa of a similar banim. Now, if you go, you walk the streets. So I'm more the type, like, you know, like, just lay low. That's my nature. My nature is like Rav Mordechai Bienenstock says, we're in a very dangerous world. Lay low. That's my nature. I really believe that all along this whole thing from the very beginning, that's really. But I was walking on the show, I was talking to a person. He's a little bit of a chutzif, this guy. He's a very, very smart person. He's really a brilliant, brilliant person, this fellow. And, you know, from yeshiva, he's a couple of years younger than me, but he this guy is brilliant, and he has a whole different attitude, like, and I don't agree with him because he's a whole different personality, but when I listen to some of these media clips, and I see how really the media has really they have taken things out of proportion. Like I told you, we're not tzaddikim. You're not going to convince me, unfortunately, that we're tzaddik. We have a lot of problems, big problems. But it seems like the media really chapped. They chapped onto something, and they're going with it. They're finally able to let out their steam of hatred that they have. Halacha b'yadua eis asoy le'yakov. And like this fellow who is very tough. And he says, you don't accept this. You just sit back and you allow this? You know, he touches my heart, even though I'm not from that camp. But sometimes when someone steps on you and insults you out of proportion, you know, I don't know who's right, who's wrong. And no one, probably the truth is no one's right, no one's wrong. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chai. We're in Golus, we don't belong here. This is not our land. It's not our home. We're just guests in a country that doesn't want us. They don't want us here. We don't belong here. Hashem is telling us to go to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, we have bigger problems there also. We got problems. But there's something to that also. You're a citizen of this country, and the country gives every person rights. You have rights. There's a constitution. Jews pay. They do incredible things for this country in many, many different ways. And it's not fair. It's not fair. And if it's not fair, you don't have to sit back. There's a responsible mahalich. It has to be done, obviously, with incredible chokhmah and sensitivity. But there's this very deep balance between nekama, like what it says over here, there's nekama, and there is just... in Vinesfu alive, Ikuni. Keep a low profile. Who do you think you are? What are you doing? Behave yourself. Okay, who raised you? A Jew doesn't do something like this. I was reading yesterday in this fascinating book from Rabbi Huffman. He died. He was a master psychologist, and he studied by Rav Isaac Shur. I think that's his name. And he said, if Yitzchak Isaac Shu was a Talmud of Slobodka, of the Alta of Slobodka, and he writes there that the Alta of Slobodka gave Musar, he never would criticize people in a negative way, and would say, how dare you do this, you Russia, you mechutzef, you idiot, you stupid. He would never, the criticism was never, ever, ever negative. It was always with a positive twist. And he said the ultimate musar that the Alta of Slobodka gave the Talmidim was, here, we don't do that. We don't do that here. This approach, that's not what we do here. In the yeshiva, we don't do that. I'm not saying what you did is wrong. We don't do that here. We have a different approach. That was the highest level of Musar he gave Talmidim. That was the sharpest grade 10, like red alert, amber alert of Musar. We don't do that here. So we have to know.
I think I just had a thought, excuse me, but the follow up to the story after I also know, and it says, Vayisou. Doesn't say Acharei Yaakov, it says Acharei Bnei Yaakov. So they only had a bone to pick with Shimon and Levi, who did the damage. But God protected Shimon and Levi. The Yaakov, you wouldn't have an Avamina that they would ever touch.
Why? Him. He's a product of the home.
He was off the, you know, he was protected from HaKadosh Baruch all the time, he would return safely. But his children, God is saying, hey, this here, that he protected them because he felt also they did what they had to do.
I don't know. A child is always a product of a home. I always tell you the story. I see this all the time. When I go to Shul Ma'ariv, there's a big chair there. There's a person who's a Rosh Kollel. He's like 7 feet tall. He's massive. He doesn't fit in a regular chair. So he has in the Beis Medrash, he has this kollel, he's in the Beis Medrash, so he has his own chair. Someone bought him a $500 lazy boy chair because he can't fit in a regular chair. And it's smack in the middle of the Beis Medrash. And the rabbi has a little teeny, the rabbi of the shul has a little teeny regular chair like everyone else. And this, in the middle of the Beis Medrash, is a shtender, and there's this massive chair. And he's only there until 7 o'clock. And he leaves 7 o'clock, and then it comes Ma'ariv. And these kids come to Ma'ariv. These kids, Baruch Hashem, when I was their age, I didn't go to Ma'ariv. They come from the block. They come to have a Ma'ariv. They schmooze. They learn. They make trouble. They make a lot of noise, whatever they do. And I always notice certain kids, they gravitate to this chair and they sit down in the chair. They sit down in the chair. And there are other boys that would never, ever sit down in this chair. And you look at these kids. I know some of their parents. And I can tell you, it's not a rule because chinuch, we all know, there are no rules. There are no rules. The people, your parents can do everything right, and unfortunately they have kids that are not, they're making trouble. And the other way around as well, you have parents who do everything wrong, and the kids are gems. But generally, the way you raise a kid is the way the kid turns out. And you look at the kids that gravitate to sit in the chair, I know their parents don't raise them. They don't raise them. The parents are out to lunch. The kids are just in the street. They don't come from a home with their mechunach. And the kids that wouldn't even have a hava amina, wouldn't even think of sitting in the chair. I know their parents also. And these are parents that spend time with their children, who are hands-on, who raise their children to be good people. And it trickles down the midos that in the home, they wouldn't sit in their father's chair. So when they come to shul and there's a chair and a big shtender, they wouldn't sit there. That's the chair of a rabbi. That's not for me to sit in that chair. You look at the person.
Are you allowed to sit there?
Well, go ask the kids. Go ask the parents. Are you allowed to sit there?
I had the same case. I was a simple star in a shul, and I was tired, and the rabbi wasn't there, and his chair was moved over to the side, you know, so I sat down in it.
Listen, yours.
Came over to me a half hour later, told me never to sit in his chair.
I'm not talking about you, a mayor, you're Rosh Hashiva. You're Rosh Hashiva in your own right.
I'm not talking about me. I mean, you're Rosh Hashiva. I mean, you're a guy sits in the chair, you're not there.
That, your story is a different story.
Your
story, as I'm talking over here, children. These are children. I'm not talking about your situation. I'm talking about a child. Look at a child in their home. Does a child sit at the head of the table in the father's chair? I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't even, my parents are no longer living. I wouldn't dare sit. I still wouldn't sit. I wouldn't dare sit in my father and mother's seat at the table. Those seats, they're like, it's a ghost. Like, I don't want, no one sits there. That's the chair. That's how it is. So you sit, so you come into a shul. Listen, it's not your father. It's not your father. It's not the rabbi. But obviously, anyone who has a little brain in their head sees that this makom is for something, someone unique, someone different. There's a shtender, there's a table. It doesn't take much to realize that this is for someone different. Oh, I come to sit in the chair? I come to sit down over there and recline in that chair? Is that where I belong? So it's amazing. There are certain kids that wouldn't dare go in there, near there. And there are certain kids, oh, of course, they sit down, they recline. And if you know their parents, it's obvious. There are parents who raise children and there are parents who are out to lunch. And the ones who are out to lunch, their kids are hefker. And they don't know between day and night, between right and wrong. And they live a world of hefker. They sit down in the chair and they go, they make noise, they make trouble. And the other ones, they're edel, they're very fine. And you look at the parents are people who you know are hands-on, and their whole tafkid of having children is not, they should be hefker. The responsibility of having a child is to raise a child. It's once an African-American said to me, she says, my mama told me, I was in the office, in the doctor's office. And she, I don't even know how I got into this conversation with the secretary. She's a big, loud mouth. Schwartz talking, and she says, my mama told me having a baby is the easiest thing in the world. It's the easiest thing to have a baby. But it's the hardest thing in the world to raise a child. And that's so true. Today it's not easy to have a child either for some people. But we're talking about the people that live. You have a baby? Yeah, big deal. You have a baby. But to raise the child, to mechanech the child, ha-ha, that's a quite an avoida. So, Ramayevsky, you're saying over here is that they only chased after the Bnei Yaakov. They didn't have an issue with their father.
They didn't chase after them.
But you being Medayek, they had no tainus.
That he put because he felt they did the right thing. I understand. I mean, but even the curse of Yaakov wasn't necessarily because since they got away with it, they showed their anger on Yosef afterwards also. Had, in other words, they exhibited the midah of Atzorius in that way because they got away with it. So they, you know, it manifested itself again. So that's what he was cursing, Urapom Kiyotz.
Yeah,
it wasn't necessarily that Yaakov had, you know, that he knew what he was saying. That was his nevuah was, he realized at the end he got his nevuah wrong.
It's true.
In other words, all of his nevuah was based on the ladder, on the Sulam. And he realized now at the end of his life that the Sulam, he misinterpreted it, according to Chazal. You know, he got it wrong.
Okay, it's true. It's okay. It's very complicated. The point over here, after everything is said and done, is there's a very delicate balance between two ways to defeat your enemy. You can defeat your enemy by being successful, and you can defeat your enemy by destroying him. And it's a very complicated world. Generally in Golos, the approach is the way you defeat your enemy is laying low, being quiet, being passive, go like sheep, right? Unfortunately, that's the way Golos is. Golos is, we're in a lot of trouble, and don't make noise, just be passive and be successful. That's how you defeat your enemy. However, there's another way to defeat your enemy, and that is revenge, that is retribution. And the balance is impossible. The balance is only for Hashem, And the Navi, the Melech HaMashiach, that proper balance, and the Pasuk over here, according to Radak, says exactly that. Next Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ki Hinani, V'hoyu Sholol La'avdehem, Reit Salomar, Hu'umoy Siyu Sholol Yisrael, Shohoyu Avdehem Bagolos. That's everyone, I've already, three people, three of the commentaries said exactly the same words. We are the Avodim, Akati Avdi Achashverosh Anan, and we, the Avodim will take the Sholol of our oppressors. Next, Vidatem Oz Bigia Zois Hanavua Teidu Ki Hashem Tzvokas Shulchanik V'Zeyel Osed Bimos HaMashiach. Then again, like we emphasized in the beginning of the Shir, this pasuk is very disturbing, very shocking. only then will you know that I am the messenger. What? Only then, Zechariah is dead by then. He's long gone. Only then will you know that I'm the messenger. What's going to be for the next, until for the next 2,500 years, we do not know that Zechariah is Hashem's messenger? Come on, of course we know. Obviously, like we said in the beginning, there is knowing and there is knowing. Now let's look at the Malbim. Put up on the screen. There's just a few minutes left. Let's try to do the Malbim. There's a massive, massive Mincha Shai that I want to learn. There's a lot of Mincha Shai. I don't think we ever had such a massively long Mincha Shai. Very fascinating to go through this. I got trouble over here with this thing over here. This thing is giving me trouble. One moment. Running out of juice on this device. Okay. Let me put on the screen the Malbim. We have a few minutes left. The Chaperein, a little bit of the Malbim. Okay, we have two pages of the Malbim. Okay. Here it comes. Make sure I take the right one. Let's make sure it's the right. Okay. Malbum, Pasik, Yud Beis. Is this the right one? Pasik, the Malbum, Pasik, Yud Beis. I put up the right one or put up the wrong one? No, I put up the wrong one by mistake. One second. No. I don't know how to do this. There are a lot of pictures here and I can't figure out which is the right picture. Kikoyimar Hashem. All right, let me just read it to you, okay? Well, I'll put up this picture. This is the next page. Let me just read you the first words and then we'll come to this. Let me read. I'm reading now. You don't have in front of you. I'm going to read you the beginning of the Malbim. It's only two lines. It's on the previous page. You don't have this. Ki choy mar Hashem hoidia lochem shebuchol zois kvod Hashem v'hashko chosoy yelech imohem buchol mekoymos pizurehem. Hashem's honor will follow them wherever they are scattered. Liyadois to cut down. Eskarnois hagoyim hamireim lochem who bring evil upon them. Okay, that's what we're up to now over here. He's basically repeating himself, which read the words and we'll explain. This is a very powerful idea, a new idea, a third approach to the mysterious words of Achar HaKovoid. The parish of the Malbim is the parish that possibly fits best into the words achar. Everyone here on the page is obviously struggling with these two words. Achar hakovot. What does that mean? So here on the now it's on the screen. If you look on the screen, it's on the screen. Tzir shekvoid Hashem, he's describing the honor of Hashem, cholech imohem, ben agoyim, ritzon loymar, bechol mokum shem holchim bagoylo, gam kvoid Hashem shechu kinu lashkachos haprotis, I will go achar kvoid Hashem ulhachriz lodia el hagoyim hashel meschem lodiam shekol hanogia bochem kinogia bevas ena shel hakovod hanizko. Anyone that touches the Jewish people is touching the honor of Hashem. Shemitzayer es kvoid ki ilu yesh lo enayim. The honor of Hashem has eyes. Shem enei hahashkocha. This is awesome parish where the Malam was saying is explosively amazing. Opposite Shiratzona Loimar, Hoinayim, the eyes shall kavod Hashem. Ki hashkochas Hashem, the oversight of Hashem, Shem Hoinayim, Hameshoititois, that swim, that span, that look over Bechol Haaretz, Heim Miyuchasim are, Miyuchas are connected, Lichvoidai, are attributed to his honor. V'achoite, a sinner, Mamre is rebelling against Einayim Shel Kavoid Hashem, the honor of Hashem. Shehakavoid, the honor, Tsoife al Masav, looks upon a person's deeds. V'chol hanogea bochem, l'ro'o nogea b'vas eina shel Kavoid Hashem. Hatsoife, who looks, u'mashkiach, and pays attention, aleichem, u'begolusam, begulosam, in your exile. Okay, let me summarize that in words, because it's very late. What he's saying over here isn't awesome. Klal Yisrael is going to go into exile. So some people will tell you that a Jew in exile is a nebuch. When the Jews are in exile, they're nothing, they're shmatas. People step on them, they spit on them. No dogs and no Jews allowed. Okay, Jews are the lowest rung of society. They're persecuted. Not so. Not so, says the Malbim. The Malbim says in an explicit pasuk that when the Jews go into Golus, they go with honor. They go with honor. Wherever the Jews find themselves in Golus, the Ribbono Shel Olam follows them. Achar Kavod, honor pursues them. Honor follows.
That hasn't happened for 2,000 years.
What?
That has not happened. We've been chased out of every country.
We've been chased out of every country, but you have to look at the good and the bad. This absolutely, absolutely, we've been chased, we've been persecuted, we've been murdered. Holocaust, Chmielnytsky massacres, the Crusades, the pogroms, unfair taxation, the blood libels. I mean, the list goes on and on. The earth is drenched in Jewish blood. However, in between those horrific events, the Jews were recognized again and again and again as the greatest people on this earth. The events of Kavod Shemayim, where the Goyim stood back and said, that says, who is like the Jewish people? Mika Goy Hazeh, who has such a God, such a nation? You're not going to say that in our lifetime we have not witnessed firsthand events where the Goyim took note of the honor and the dignity of the Jewish people. Whether you want to go look from a secular, a more, I don't say secular, the establishment of the State of Israel and the wars that were miraculously won by Israel, the world didn't take note of the koichos of Klal Yisrael. We want to go take a look at, let's say, even something more recent.
Well, I mean, that's more recent event.
More recent. I'm talking about what's so recent.
Of Golas, I would say those.
No, there was a certain
recognitions have been fairly few and far between.
Okay, I'm not making numbers, but you can't deny the fact that the Goyim, there's a respect that the Goyim have for the Jews when things are good. When things are good, there's a certain, look, I want to go back to an old Yisoid. There's an old Yisoid, the old Yisoid of, this is a very important Yisoid, Rashi and Chumash. Rashi says, Esav met Yaakov, Parshas Vayishlach, he meets him. What does he do? He kisses him. Esav kisses Yaakov. Rashi says, Bechol Liboy. Esav kissed Yaakov with his full heart. Rashi says, Hayitochein. Esav kissing Yaakov with his full heart when Esav wanted to desperately murder Yaakov. He sent Eliphaz. Yaakov had to run away for 22 years. So what does Rashi say? Halacha biyadua Esav soine Yaakov. Ela be'oisoi be'oiso shoa. At that moment, nichmiru rachamav, be'oisosha, ma'isa avay simlabanim, the Goyim hate the Jews, they've murdered us over and over again. But there have been pockets of time in Jewish history called be'oisosha. There have been pockets of time in Jewish history where the Goyim are very good to Jews. Look at America, Medina shel chesed, freedom of religion. We're living in a tekufa of be'oisosha. Oiso Shoa. At that moment, Nichmiru Rachamav, Vayishakeu. Now, here's the question. This is the big question. When is it a moment of Be'oiso Shoa?
define that moment. Is the moment ba'oisa shah only when with tzaddikim? Maybe. But there's something very, very, very much simpler of when it's called ba'oisa shah, and this is so true. That is, what did Yaakov say to Esav? I want to give you a gift. I have a gift to give you. Esav says, Achi, yihi loch mashaloch, I don't want your gifts. Why? Why don't I want your gifts? Yesh li rav. I have plenty. I have an abundance. When Esav is in a matzav of yesh li rav, I have blessing, I have parnasa, I have entertainment, I have kavod, I have family, I have success. That is a moment. That was the moment. That was the Ba'is HaShah. Esav said b'feirush, yesh li rav. When Esav is in a matzav of yesh li rav, that's the moment when there's potential. Potential doesn't mean it's going to happen. There's potential for but when Esav finds himself in a matzav of, does not in that matzav, where he doesn't have rav, where he doesn't have a job, where he's going out of his mind, and he's dying from a pandemic, and when there's a lot of tzaris, then you go back to the default. What's the default? Ha'alacha b'yadua Esav soinei Yaakov. So there are times when the goyim yeshli rav. They have, they're very happy with themselves, then they leave us alone. Because they have, then, b'ois hashah, at those moments of time, even not at those moments of time, there is an honor, this pasuk over here says, achar hakavod, even though the Jewish people will be scattered in exile. The pasuk here says, according to the parish of the Malbim, achar kavod, wherever you go, it will follow after you honor. What is the honor? The honor is that the world can see the hashkocha pratis of a Jew. The hashkocha, Einei Hashem Elokecha Bo. Now that means before Yerushalayim, and that's why it's described here, Bivoas Ayin, the eyes of Hashem. The kovoid of Klal Yisrael, V'chein Tein Kovoid Li'amecha. What does that mean? The Malbim is telling us. You know what it means? Hashkocha pratis. Hashem should look out for us. He should protect us. He should make sure we're in the right place at the right time and not be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's what it says over here. Achar, wherever you go, the Jewish people, achar, I'm going to follow behind you and give you cover. What's the cover? What, we're going to be millionaires? No. If you start up with the Jewish people, you're poking out Hashem's eyes. The eyes is the kavod. What's the eyes? The kavod is that the world sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach. He's tzoyfe u'mashkiach upon the Jewish people. He watches over them. He protects them. He guides them. He nurtures them. A goy knows that. A goy has that sensitivity to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking over the Jewish people. That's the kavod. And wherever the Jews go in Golus, Hashem will follow them and provide them with that hashkacha pratis, which will be viewed in the eyes of the Ummas as the ultimate kavod for the Jewish people. So sach hakol, we take away from this expression so far, three very different translations of the word achar kavod. Mitzudos David, Radak, the goal, achar means towards. The goal is to give honor to the Jewish people. And how? How are you going to give honor? Nekama. Shefoy chamos. That's the kavod. Rashi, achar kavod. When will there be nekama in this world? After Esav is rewarded for the kavod that he gave his father. A whole different world of translation. After Esav is rewarded for kibud av. Malbum, achar kavod means achar. Wherever you travel in Golis, I'm right behind you. I'm following you in order to give you, the Jewish people, kavod. And what is the kavod I'm going to give you? My eyes. I'm going to look at you. I'm going to be tsoife umashkiach. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to make sure everything is taken care of. there'll be hashgacha pratis. All right, we're going to stop over here, take a short break, then we're going to learn about...
Excuse me, just that's where the Marsha I once mentioned, the Marsha's Taich on Nogila Benismucha Bishua. So that's what we look for, because as the grammar of the pasuk should be Nogila Benismucha Bishua Seinu. But when God...